Welcome back to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Libby Denkman. Larry Mantle will be back after a well-deserved long weekend off. And I know it's hard for Larry to be gone during the member drives. So we appreciate everyone who has stepped up, even though it's not Larry sitting in this chair, and given to KPCC. Go to kpcc.org for more. We just hashed out the major political news of last week, the failure of congressional Republicans to bring a bill to repeal and replace Obamacare to the floor. It's a flop with major political implications for the Trump administration and midterm elections. But what does it mean for Americans who are worried about the future of their own health insurance? Joining us to discuss this is Chad Terhune, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News California Healthline. Hi, Chad. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Libby.
Thanks for being here. So repeal and replace is dead as of Friday. Paul Ryan said that Obamacare is the law of the land for the foreseeable future. What does that mean for the average consumer? I understand it's a lot of moving parts. It's a gigantic national system, including all the state health exchanges. But what does the average consumer need to know about the fact that that bill was pulled on Friday?
Yeah, this is not over. That was a wild Friday, and who thought Speaker Ryan would ever say those words?
I never did. That was quite a statement. Yeah.
But I think the attention now goes to President Trump and his administration. They face some key decisions over the Affordable Care Act and the exchanges that they have inherited. So just an example, one thing like the individual mandate, that requirement that everyone have health insurance, Republicans have railed against that. So the question is, do they enforce that? Do they look the other way? And that would be key, because if they don't enforce the mandate, if you don't have to pay that tax penalty under the current law, a lot of young and healthy people would say, well, I guess I don't have to buy health insurance after all. And then there's also some subsidies under the law that the Trump administration has to decide, do we keep funding these for 2018? So those two things right there could really impact enrollment. And enrollment is linked to premiums, and that's what people really care about. What am I going to have to pay? And premiums could go up even more next year based on what Trump does.
So when the president was talking about the failure of this bill over the weekend, he said that the system would eventually explode. Those were his words. What does that mean exactly when you're talking about removing some of the enforcement mechanisms for the individual mandate and maybe watching premiums start to rise? Is that the dreaded death spiral that we've been hearing about that Obamacare will eventually be facing?
Yeah, this is an important point. So let's be clear. Obamacare, the exchanges right now are not in a death spiral. They are not collapsing. So that is not true. Now, could the Trump administration do certain things that nudge it in that direction? Yes. But right now, according to the Congressional Budget Office, when they looked at the Republican proposal and the current health law, they said under, you know, neither scenario would there be a death spiral. The other thing to keep and remember is there's a few states like Arizona, Tennessee that have had some huge rate increases. They've had insurers leave the market. Some states do have some specific problems. They're maybe in more distress. But then you have states like California, New York, other states where the market is very stable. There are plenty of health insurers. Rates have been fairly stable. So it really varies by market. Nationally, it is not collapsing. There are problems that need to be addressed. Premiums have continued to go up. Some of the promises that President Obama made did not come true. Our health costs did not magically go down. So there are things to be addressed. But the question now is, premiums are going to go up, but by how much? And a lot of that will be determined by the politics of the Trump administration. And what they do they undermine the law, or do they look to fix it in various ways?
I'm curious about the Medicaid expansion, because I know states like Kansas and North Carolina were sort of sitting back and waiting and expecting a Republican plan to come through. And in the past, they'd resisted taking federal funding for the Medicaid expansion. Will they now turn and say, well, it looks like Obamacare is the law of the land for now. We will take that funding. We will expand Medicaid.
Yes, I think you could see more Republican states now opt for the Medicaid expansion, and you're seeing that in Kansas. because I think they feel it's safer now because they have a Republican administration. They have Secretary Tom Price, who is very conservative, who now heads the HHS, and he will give them the flexibility to do the things that a Republican-leaning state wants to do with Medicaid, like impose a work requirement on enrollees, or like what Indiana did, where they required people to pay a few dollars a month in premiums, and they set up these health savings accounts. So I think, yes, you'll see actually more Republican states express interest in Medicaid expansion. They will get flexibility from Washington. You could even see a state try the block grant idea that was in this recent Republican proposal. So you're going to see Republicans experiment with Medicaid, and the Trump administration will encourage that. I think in a state like California, it'll be defending the status quo of their Medicaid program.
Chad Terhune is senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News' California Healthline. Also joining us is Rebecca Plevin, KPCC's health reporter. Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Libby.
So looking closer to home, Chad just mentioned the California exchange. How are clinics and the California Medical Association feeling about the bill's failure on Friday? What does this change for them, and how are they doing?
Right. I spoke with Carmela Castellano-Garcia on Friday, and she leads this lobbying group that represents community health clinics here in California. And she told me that from the perspective of clinics that California really dodged a bullet. So, you know, as Chad was mentioning, before the Affordable Care Act, a lot of low-income adults were uninsured. So they might go to clinics to get episodic care, but they would pay nothing or very little. And Obamacare expanded who was eligible for Medicaid, and several million people here in California gained access to Medi-Cal, and that allowed them to get more comprehensive health care. And so for all these reasons, Castellano-Garcia said that the Affordable Care Act has been a blessing, and I mean, the Republican plan being pulled was also a blessing for California. I also spoke with Dr. Ted Mazur, who's the president-elect of the California Medical Association, and his tone was a little bit more measured, but he said that the failure of the GOP plan was probably a good thing. You know, he acknowledges there are good things about the current health care plan, but he also says that things could be improved, like rising premiums, which we've been talking about today. So he said the Republican bill didn't do enough to address those problems. And he was also really worried about the proposed cuts to Medicaid.
Yeah, I mean, they must be breathing a big sigh of relief here in California. There was, what, $6 billion or more funding threatening to be cut under the Republican proposal. Is the California medical community in general just sort of breathing a sigh of relief?
Definitely. I would say both the state's Community Clinic Association and the CMA were very concerned about cuts to Medicaid and are very relieved that, you know, there are not going to be cuts, I mean, right away to, you know, changing who is eligible for Medi-Cal, changing Medi-Cal benefits, lowering rates for doctors. Those were all things that could have happened if, you know, the changes to Medicaid had gone through with the Republican plan.
What's the next step, Rebecca? How are doctors and health providers in California planning on moving forward?
Right. So I think, you know, from the perspective of the clinics, they said they would continue fighting for access to affordable health care. And I think from the perspective of the CMA, they see this as a good opportunity to look again at the Affordable Care Act and look at what is working, what is not working, and those things that aren't working, figure out how to improve them while ensuring that no one loses their health coverage and no one loses their access to health care.
Rebecca Plevin is KPCC health reporter, and we also heard from Chad Terhune, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, California Healthline. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Going forward on Air Talk today, I'm Libby Dankman in for Larry Mantle. Larry's just taking a long weekend. He will be back in another day here on KPCC. We are going to hear about a proposal out of Sacramento that may allow bars and clubs in L.A. to remain open until 4 a.m. You know, if you go to New York, if you go to European capitals across the world, you can stay out way past the 2 a.m. deadline that most of us have to deal with here in L.A. Is that a good idea, though, for the Los Angeles area? Is it something that would improve public safety or potentially put you in more danger on the road? We'll hear all about it next on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Libby Dankman in for Larry Mantle on Air Talk today.